Okay, thank you everyone. We're back for our afternoon session and we're going to get right into section 10.1, which is our presentation from the Finance Department. And we're going to start with a presentation of the draft operating budget.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. So if Council will recall that we've already introduced the draft operating budget. So staff are here to give you an update on things that have changed since that introduction. So we will start with the administration department, and I'll turn it over to Alex Demerick, who will talk to you about the changes in the admin section.
Thank you very much, Elena. So I actually only have two changes to report. We have added some funds here just for a carryover. This were existing costs from this year going into next year for our regional EDI coordinator. And then we have an addition of $17,000. This is for a second summer student. So we have one coming aboard to do some policy research for us related to the implementation of our housing strategy and some communications work. But we would like to do a little more focused work on population, employment, and labor force demands as well, as this will inform both community development as well as future pressures on the housing market. So we have those additions there for you.
Thanks, Alex. So I think that the Planning and Development Services has a few changes as well, and I'll turn it over to Jeff Merrill, who can speak to those.
Yeah, we had some additional private road maintenance and improvement charges areas come forward. So we had the Tanner Road Homeowner Association, the Elmwood Road Association, and then we did make some adjustments since the last time we did the operating budget. Not every private road association had submitted their budgets, so there's a net revenue of $600 for that. Coastal support, we removed $104,000. This is the grant through the Nova Scotia Federation of Municipalities. We did apply for that grant, but they actually will pay the consultant directly. They don't transfer the funds to the municipality, so we are removing that from the budget. I just see that this must be the older version. So it's not actually managed by Clean Foundation. That second part should be removed. The project will be managed by MODL staff if we're successful in the funding.
Mayor McLean-Weil.
I don't know if we're taking questions now. Is that okay?
I think we should. Yeah, okay. I think we'll pause and take.
Can you just talk about what that project is?
Yeah. So the coastal support. So since council's aware, we've had coastal protection regulations in place since July of 2024. There is a industry gap, and we've partnered with four other municipalities to fill that gap, and we'd be doing education for the industry, so like surveyors and engineers around the coastal erosion tool. So our regulations require, if somebody wants to reduce that 30-meter setback, you have to have that coastal erosion assessment done. So this would provide support and education to industry to have them provide more consistent and reliable assessments.
Okay, are there any more questions for planning and development?
Then we can move on to economic development with Mr. Dave Waters.
Thank you, Elena. Yeah, there's two items on our list, both related to the community hub. One is the operating and maintenance cost. We increased that by an additional $5,000 from $45,000 to $50,000, primarily to cover off internet expense and photocopier expense for the first year. And then the fit up for 2026-2027, we estimated that at $3 million. We didn't get as much done previous year as we had hoped. I was actually just over there, and they're putting up framing walls right now, but we won't spend as much of what we had previously budgeted for last year as we had hoped.
Are there any questions for economic development? Councillor Burns.
So just for clarity, it's not that we're necessarily spending more on fit-up costs. This is just reflecting the year in which the fit-up costs are happening.
No, there's a combination of two. We had to increase the overall budget because of the proposed programming space and the business hub. We had hoped to spend more of this year's budget to offset that, but we couldn't. So there is actual an increase overall on that. 350 from the original.
Thank you, Mr. Waters. So moving on, we'll do Recreation, Parks, and Tourism, and our Recreation Director of Parks and Tourism is here, Trudy Payne, to go over that change.
Yeah, so there's one additional change being recommended for the operating budget, and that is with the Broad Cove Community Association. So if Council can recall, we just signed off on a stewardship agreement not that long ago around the Broad Cove Beach. And in January 2025, when they made their presentation to Council before we went on the journey of expropriating the property, there were a number of asks that they had had for us to consider, which was providing signage, some educational displays, creating some parking opportunities, waste management responsibilities, and then just opportunities for some future enhancements such as seasonal portable toilets, beach wheelchair access matting. So we're requesting $5,000 in this year's operating budget to hopefully address their number two concerns, which is some signage and some parking designation for this year.
Thank you, Trudy. So there is some changes and in the financial services draft operating budget as well. One of the things that came up when we introduced the budget was some questions around the credit card acceptance and convenience fees. If Council will recall that we started accepting credit cards last August, so we've had about 6 months of experience with that. We are charging a 2% convenience fee. So we had we have a monthly equipment rental and debit card fee anyway, so we had a budget for that we were using as just the cost of doing business. And so that costs have gone up a bit in this year, we think, to forecast it about from $4,900 to $6,100. So we're also recovering fees for the credit card usage. So overall, we're thinking that based on the annual budget of $4,900, we're probably looking at about a $1,600 increased cost due to the acceptance of credit cards. So we have processed about 409 credit card transactions to date. So we will continue to monitor that until we have about a full year's experience so we can see how each tax season kind of falls. So up to Council whether you are interested in increasing the convenience fees or maybe refusing certain cards that could be more expensive, like American Express, or just accept that these are kind of the costs of doing business going forward. It's something that the taxpayer wants. Okay. Also, there is the LCLC, the multipurpose facility. That board looked at their operating budget, and their capital. So those things have been amended based on the presentation to the board. So we've reduced the operating budget from just over $1,036,000 to $988,500 and increased the capital contribution that we make from $2,455,500 from $406,000. It does result in an overall budget increase of $1,400, which will be offset by capital cost savings in the current year. As well, we've done a transfer for future infrastructure that we reduced to balance the budget this year. It was at $370,000, and we've moved it down to $319,800. So overall, the changes to the budget that the staff have presented to council today have resulted in an offset in reserves to balance, which is about $50,200, which gives us a budget surplus of zero, which we know municipalities aren't supposed to budget for a deficit, so we're not. And so we're budgeting no surplus this year at all. So we did run the numbers through our draft five-year operating budget forecast. It's still showing some small deficits in future years, so staff continue to use their best estimates in forecasting our future revenues and expenditures. And we can certainly take any more questions on the operating budget, or we could move on to capital.
Are there any more questions on operating budget? Mayor McLean Wilde?
I'm not sure where the right place to bring this up, but are we wrapping up operating? Okay. I will bring it up then. I did send, and it relates to our thinking around tourism in our municipality, and I know I spoke to this issue when we had Ruth Walwin here talking about the Visitor Information Center and the pop-up approach that's been taken, as opposed to having a bricks-and-mortar facility. And I thought a lot about this. I attended the province's strategy on tourism, and I've talked to some people that have long-time careers in tourism and did some reading. So I sent to all of you as council members a short paper that kind of summarized my thinking around tourism and the need to really think strategically about it. Because I remember during the presentation, I asked the question, what is our goal and our strategy around tourism? And, you know, we don't really have one, is what I understand. And there are other questions. If we think and I put this in the paper to all of you, the questions that we need to be thinking about are around, if we're going to be in the business, you know, our role as a municipality is to deliver services and support infrastructure development. We're not marketers. And if you think about what we're currently doing in tourism, it really is about marketing, and is that the place we should be? And another really important question around tourism is, does it align with our strategic priorities? And it does. It fits under economic development if we think that's what we want to achieve. Does it contribute tax dollars, create employment? All of those things are things that we would think about under economic development. But as a council, this is not really something we've ever, in our time together, discussed in full and had a bit of a consideration of what role we want to play. I think a fundamental question is, should we be in tourism at all? Like, start with the basics. And I'm sure there was historic reasons why we're in that and why we've identified that as an important sector. And some other municipalities do it, and other municipalities do it under the umbrella of a REN or a regional partnership agreement or something else. So it is configured in different ways, and some municipalities do nothing in that venue. So I raise all this because I think that, and given the report we got on the visitor pop-up program we're doing, which really, in the end, the most response they got was from attending trade shows in our own municipality. So that means that probably 95% of the people attending those were people who live here. Well, if our ideas were trying to attract dollars, it presents to me a question that what we're doing, and it's no reflection on staff because they're doing what we've all agreed to. But it did make me think about the need to really rethink this. And I would suggest that we
we not do that program anymore, and we use that money to support some discussion and evaluation of what our role is in tourism, and look at whether we need a strategy if we're going to be in it, and if we are, then what should it be? So that's the long and short of it. So I'm not sure at this stage. I think it would be we're not going to have the discussion about tourism. The question here would be whether we see value in continuing with that visitor program, or suggest that we're not. I'm not suggesting we increase or decrease the budget. I'm just saying that maybe doing that is not the best thing we could do with money right now. I would like to see it go towards investing in a strategy that then we would all have a discussion about what we thought role of tourism is in MODL.
Is there any further discussion on that? It won't affect the budget, but it will affect how maybe some of that money gets earmarked. Councillor Brooks and then Councillor Smith.
Yeah, I would just echo what the mayor has said, and I know we've talked about having this conversation. I don't know exactly when we're going to have this conversation, but since I started, I still haven't really gotten a clear answer of why tourism split from the Economic Development Department. So that's a conversation I'm still interested in having. As it stands, tourism stands as a net loss, and that's not really something that I'm interested in. It's a benefit to I'm not sure who. I guess it's something so that we can say we've got that department. But as it stands, we're not leveraging one against the other, and it's, I think, a conversation that we need to have. So I would support the mayor that I don't know that that program is getting us any more data or useful information at this point.
I kind of broadly support the discussion around tourism, and just my initial thinking around it is I especially support thinking about tourism as something that also contributes to local quality of life. So you do see some emphasis on some kinds of tourism, like cultural tourism, that also builds up, I'll just say it, heritage, that attracts people to our communities, but also becomes something that our communities learn from and invest in. And it's, you know, it's symbiotic. It's not just economic development, it's community development, which I think are, you know, two places we want to go. But that said, I guess I would just like to hear from staff, if we were to redirect that money, do you think we'd be losing, through the chair to staff, would we be losing out on awareness in our local population about our assets? If I'm understanding the budget line right, that you're thinking of transferring, like, are we going to lose some awareness that we need to keep creating within our local population about our network of parks and trails and that kind of thing? I guess I'd just like to hear from staff on this.
What we may do, just considering that there is a section for council deliberation at the end of the presentation, maybe we'll save that further discussion just for the end, considering we have a few other presentations to get through.
Follow the agenda. The agenda says presentation.
Okay. Okay, if that's okay, or if you'd like an answer more immediately, we can.
I'm okay whenever.
Okay. Okay, we'll keep moving then, and we'll go to the draft budget for the capital budget. And okay, so our CAO is going to address that before we move on to the capital budget. Yes.
So thank you, Chair. So I did have the benefit of seeing the mayor's thoughts in advance, and we've had discussions about the nature of the tourism position here, and in particular the Visitor Information Center. And as council's aware, the history is we transitioned from a partnership with the town of Bridgewater where we cost-shared a bricks and mortar VIC in Blockhouse just off the highway. At first, the town of Bridgewater, and then MODL decided that that wasn't a good investment. The statistics at that particular site demonstrated that the majority of residents, or the majority of people, the traveling public, that were traveling into the VIC to get information were either looking primarily for the town of Lunenburg or the town of Mahone Bay. And so the first Bridgewater, and then MODL decided that we were going to move to a different format. And the council of the day endorsed the idea of a pop-up VIC, which was going to be the primary way that we would provide the service with a review to take place at some time in the future. Since that period, MODL has spent considerable amounts of money investing in its parks and trails and its open spaces. And that's in addition to the beaches and the sort of the outdoor experience that we can offer. And the mayor and I had discussed how we could fit into the regional tourism network, which is primarily run by towns. Town of Mahone Bay has its VIC. Town of Lunenburg has its VIC. Town of Bridgewater is embarking on a tourism strategy and hiring tourism staff. So they're looking at how they're going to operate, but they've adopted the marketing levy in their strategic plan, which was introduced last on Monday. Sets out some thoughts on how they're going to go about using their marketing levy to support tourism efforts, primarily within the town. Because although we had discussed the marketing levy as a regional approach, we advanced at different stages. So, as the mayor indicated, in some areas where they have RENs operating or partnerships, the regional entity has taken tourism as an initiative and funneled the partner funds into it and then took a more regional approach to tourism. We in the South Shore still do it as the sort of the essence of the bricks and mortar where they exist or the pop-up. If council wants to have the discussion, it can take place in the umbrella of community development, which is the strategic priority of council, and the companion discussion on regional economic development, and have a either a consultant or a discussion and then a consultant, and use those funds that otherwise would have went into the mobile VIC program to help us create a strategy and a place for MODL. So we are not the organization that is going to market the UNESCO Heritage Site in the town of Lunenburg. Like that's the town of Lunenburg doing that. We're not going to market the three churches in Mahone Bay. That's for Mahone Bay to do that. The South Shore Tourism Co-op has a role to play. The province has a role to play, but they've closed a bunch of their VICs. So there's a gap there to fill. What we have to offer, and what the mayor and I have discussed, is what people do when they're not in the town of Lunenburg and when they're not in the town of Bridgewater and when they're not in the town of Mahone Bay. We offer the experience that you can get in the rural municipality through our parks and trails, and we put quite literally millions of dollars into those to upgrade them. So recently we've done the Miller Point Peace Park accessibility upgrade to upgrade the trails and the accessible kayak launch. We've upgraded Indian Falls to make it more accessible and improve it through the use of washrooms. This year we have a planned road upgrade for Mushamush Lake and adding proper washrooms installed there. We have the Mark with a new planned accessible playground going in with some shade areas and gazebos. We have a $600,000 pickleball court going in. As we saw today, we have an opportunity to expand our disc golf course for what seems like a relatively reasonable amount of money. And all of these services that we provide through primarily through recreation assets and outdoor assets are what tourists look for. What we need to do is find a way to get that information in front of tourists that aren't from here, that are coming here. Because the people that are here are pretty well aware of the parks and trails. And if they're not aware, then we can educate them in a way that's different than we would educate the traveling public. So I think it is something that, although we don't have a lot of time to discuss it today, I think if council is considering it, and if it wanted to do by consensus, we could leave the funds in the budget as they stand now, rather than spend them as we traditionally have on the pop-up VIC and those types of things. We still would likely pay our $5,000 South Shore Tourism Co-op Fund to keep us in that membership. But come back to council probably pretty close to when budget finishes and have a discussion about what's council's vision, because we've got a couple of initiatives like community development, but we haven't fleshed out the vision. We have regional economic development, and we have a consultant doing a study on regional economic development platforms. So that's coming through, and that discussion will happen later. But I think with tourism, there is the opportunity for us to figure out where we fit in the tourism network in the South Shore, work with our partners on how we can get our information perhaps into their VICs so that the information that supports the parks and trails and open space that we want to highlight is available, and then look at what other ways that we can work through partnerships and on our own to devise tourism. As it happens, I took a call yesterday from the, Canada Travel and Lifestyle magazine. They thought they were calling the town of Lunenburg, but they got me. And they put a pitch forward for advertising in Toronto in the Globe and Mail and the Toronto Post and on something called the Exhibition Place Screen, which is on a highway in Toronto. And they sent us a picture of West Hants, who did it. And they had the West Hants logo on the big screen. They had a little picture. They had a spread in their magazine and in three different newspapers, which get more than 50,000 hits. And the cost was under $4,000. So, of course, like any good CIO, I said, you should call Paul Noper. He's at the town of Lunenburg. He's the guy you want to talk to. And then I followed it up with him and said, if this is something that the town of Lunenburg is interested in, we would likely be interested in partnering, because the UNESCO Heritage Site is the draw, but the other part of that draw for people that want to do more than just spend their time in town is what's outside. And we could combine our efforts, split the cost, and get one ad that can do both. And I think that's the approach that we should be embracing, partnering with our neighbors to take advantage of what they have, what we have, and do it in a cost-effective manner. So I think that's the discussion that can come with council after the budget passes, and we don't have to change the budget, we just have to change the spend. So I think I would ask that if this is something council is interested in doing, by consensus, indicate whether you want to spend as before on the mobile VIC or just keep it in the budget, and we'll spend as we decide in the future. So, thanks.
Okay, well, since we're having that conversation now, and thank you for the clarification, I think it is important that Councillor Smith get an answer to her question, if you would still like to make the decision whether we want to...
Sorry, what budget line exactly are we talking about? Is it the tourism... VIC, and it's 6,000.
No, that's the revenue.
No. I'm in revenue.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Could you just tell me the page so that I know how much we're talking about?
Whatever page you were on. Go to the next. It's either that. It's on the second page of that.
Okay.
Tourism. Right here.
wow. That's a lot.
It's not an insignificant amount.
Yeah, that's a lot more money. That's, so we're talking about $250,000.
$252,800 is the budget line item for all of
Yes. So that would include staff salaries. So
yes.
That part wouldn't be impacted. It would be the discretionary spend on the tourism budget that we're talking about.
So what would the amount be that we would be diverting?
$40,000. So it's broken up into a number of budget lines. So what we would do is save the salary portions and any direct expenses for salaries for staff, and the discretionary portion that goes out on other things, we'd quantify that and hold it, and that's what would form the basis of the discussion for council on how it wants to move forward. But it would take a little bit to...
We can bring that forward.
Yeah, we can bring that forward as the budget discussion proceeds.
Okay, so we can get clarification on that when we have the
yes.
broader discussion. Okay, thank you. Okay, so now we can move on to the capital budget presentation.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So we'll do a review now of your draft capital and reserve budgets. So just a kind of a reminder on how the whole draft capital budget process works. So our capital budget planning does start in October, and all our departments collaborate on the capital projects. So there are project lead departments. We determine those, and then the projects are scoped for estimated cost and construction and implementation timelines. We do have a project management committee, which is a cross-departmental team that meets regularly to review our capital projects and timelines. So it's certainly a group effort for all departments to ensure that your projects are done and completed in a timely manner. So a little reminder of kind of where we are in the capital budget and public input review process, and it's kind of going hand in hand with the operating now because we have both of them out in the public. So in November, we introduced our draft capital budget, and in January 13th, we did some updates to that. And here we are again with another meeting here at the Finance Committee to review the changes and the funding and effect on reserves with another public input session. So on March 24th, we will meet again with any of the changes that come out of today's meeting so that we can have a kind of final budget review and recommendations so that we are looking to have our budget approved by March 31st. So what we've done is we've circulated the large capital spreadsheets for everyone and kind of for council and for the public, and we've highlighted the changes. And so we thought in the presentation we'd just kind of bring this like section by section so it's a little easier to follow. So the only change in this section is engineering and wastewater, and Stephen Pace is here, our Director of Engineering, Public Works and Wastewater, to talk about the annual large pump replacement increase.
Yeah, that's for a... we normally have a $20,000 a year for an annual pump replacement program, and there is an anticipated project, a residential development project in New Germany, which may necessitate the upsizing of one of the pumps in one of the pump stations. So that's why there's like a one-time blip of up to $50,000 just to cover that, should that move forward.
And I can add, we're happy to discuss any projects, but we're only going to highlight the ones that have changed today. So we'll move on to the next page, which includes, I'll talk to Mr. Pace again.
Yes, we've had Osprey Village Water Tower. That's, as many have been aware, that's been awarded for design to a design from CBCL
over 3 years ago, and it's been held up a lot in working with our partner, the Town of Bridgewater's PSC. So we do anticipate now, with the completion of the master water study done by Design Point, that we're hopefully going to be able to move forward on the project. And it's difficult to come up with an actual estimate because there's been no design work, not even conceptual design. So it's a bit of a, you know, there's a lot of infrastructure, pipes in the ground, the tank itself. So it's a bit of a hard number to nail down. But the study, the latest study did reveal $7.5 million. And year one is still at $1.5 million, which is what we anticipated before, assuming the project went ahead. So we have reduced that. And the center school, that's interesting because the $5.5 million is based on all our environmental site assessment work at $5.5 million, and that included the both the demolition, the hazardous material removal, and the removal of the building, as well as any site remediation to either Tier 1 or Tier 2 clearance with the Department of Environment. And it was always contingent, the project moving forward was always contingent on getting other funding sources, which haven't been fruitful at this point. So what we did in this case, we actually pulled out the cost of just demolishing the building, where it is an unsightly building, unsafe, and has its own issues. We did pull that out, and unfortunately, it's a large number. Of $4.5 million of the $5.5 million estimated, so that $4.5 million is just to remove the building, all the hazard material in the building itself, and not address any of the site remediation work.
So. Mayor McLean Weil.
So, just for clarification, does that mean then that the site itself could? I mean, there's a soccer field there. There's people parking there. We could continue to have it used for those purposes. We just couldn't build on it or sell it. It probably wouldn't pass a financing deal because of the soil contamination, but it can still be used.
Yes, and actually I should point out the soccer field is on a separate PID, a separate property. There's a property line there. But it has been identified in the environmental site assessments that it is there is one a source of contamination from an underground fuel storage tank. So in time we will have to deal with it. But there's different ways of dealing with it. You can actually delineate it, do groundwater monitoring around the identified location, and if it's proven over time that the groundwater isn't migrating to other outside of this location, it can be just left on file that way, and that's minimal cost. Or we can do some cleanup work to get to Tier 2 or Tier 1 is when you are able to have potable water on the property. So there's different levels with different price tags attached to them. Hopefully that...
Yeah, if I may. I you know, this has been an issue for a long time, and I know Deputy Mayor Vino is probably going to speak on it, but both she and I, and I'm sure others, have heard repeatedly from residents, we are paying to have the maintenance of the building, you know, when people break in, you know, Gerhardt's or someone has to go and do something to close up the building. And there is a cost, an ongoing cost associated with that. And I think at this stage we should just do what we need to do to get rid of the building. And if we can do it for 4.5, I mean, I'm hesitant to say that number because it's a very large number, but we just need to, and there are some environmental deadlines we're meeting with government regulations. So I think I'm glad to see it here, and if there's other work to be done in the future, well, we'll consider that. But I think now getting the eyesore out of that community is really important, and the safety issues around having people break into it or people that may be on site that think it's a building they can go into, there are risks there that we should eliminate.
Yeah, I will add that we do regular inspections, and I'll document it for our insurance provider. and we have regular site visits, and invariably within a month there's multiple cases where we have to reboard windows. I think most of the windows are boarded now over time, so costs have come down a little bit. We're not buying as much plywood, but it's an ongoing battle, break-ins and so on. So, but this gives you the opportunity of knowing the cost breakdown between the two options. The $4.5 million is kind of a, and we've had it verified by a contractor and a consultant, so we're in the right ballpark.
Deputy Mayor Vino.
Thank you. In the budget that's been presented at least the last two, maybe 3 years, we've always documented that the project will not proceed without grant. We've absorbed all grant possibilities, to my knowledge, from speaking with our CAO. So the budget line item of 4.5 in this year, would that lead the public to anticipate that it's going to come down this year because it's in our... But like, is that the decision we're making, that in the next year we are going to spend this to take it down?
That's what it would cost to take it down. I think it would be council's decision if you want to proceed without funding.
And that would be by approving the budget with this line item, correct? Okay.
Yes.
Just looking for clarity on that because I will get asked.
Yeah.
And to your point and to the mayor's point, it definitely has become a site that I'm worried somebody's going to get hurt. I often see kids running on the roof. I'm there often for soccer games, and it's become a play gym, unfortunately. So removing that can't come soon enough for the community.
Councillor Oikle.
So it says center school demolition and remediation. Is that $4 million just for the demo, or is it for both?
The estimate is just for the demolition and the hazardous materials removal and not the site. Now, we are on notice with the Department of Environment to do both. And they gave us 2 years from the time it was submitted, which is, I think, within the last year. You can apply for extensions, which we did in the case of Riverport School, to allow funding to come in. We did apply for extensions because the Riverport School is a very similar project, only a lot smaller in scale. But there's a little bit of flexibility for extensions, but it is a potential liability in the meantime.
So then maybe there and remediation should be taken off because it's not.
Yeah, remediation, right? Refers more to the soil. If the main focus would be to get the building down, if it's possible to delineate it within the budget, just to delineate and leave the soil intact. We did something similar to that at the Mark building, where we have underground fuel storage tanks that migrated underneath the program building. We just, in that case, we just had it identified and leave it in place. And so that's it can be done fairly economically, and we may try to do that. And that would be the only way we could remediate within that budget. And the tenders tend to be a little bit over the map as well in this field. When the results come in, but we have had it verified by a contractor as well. In the case of Riverport School, we actually went all the way to Tier 1 clearance, so we're able to use potable water on the site, and that costs a lot more, and it took us 2 to 3 years to get the site to that level, as you remember. So there's different levels that you can get, and they have different time frames and costs.
Thanks, Mr. Pace. So the next section is planning development. I think Council has already discussed this, the public transit grant that we've moved to the operating fund that was in our capital. So that's kind of a non-issue. We've just moved it over. And then Trudy Payne can talk to the recreation, parks, and tourism changes. And maybe Mr. Pace as well.
Yeah, I can speak to the Hillside Cemetery Monument. So the $150,000 was originally placed in 26-27, but based on Council's direction and approval for us to do essentially a year-long public consultation to determine whether we would even be putting a monument up of some sort, based on the feedback that we get from the consultation, it was moved to year two as opposed to this upcoming fiscal year. And Wilds Lake Regional Park, because the scope of work had changed significantly between the MARC and Wiles Lake, we're not doing public consultation or extensive public consultation as was originally planned for in the MARC. We're doing some stakeholder engagement with the Accessibility Committee and some of the ball field users. That scope really changed. So we will be looking at putting an RFP, a new RFP out for Wiles Lake Regional Park consultation, and now that it's a standalone project as opposed to a bigger project, usually you get some economies of scales when you're combining two projects together, hence why the increase last year was $50,000, why we're looking at $60,000, because we are looking at that standalone project and also looking at some other possibilities with that park that might change that scope. So that's why the change in the $10,000. And the MARC EV chargers, I would really defer to engineering or Jeff with that.
Now that's just a project that's not being done this fiscal year. That will be done maybe in year two, depending on where we're at with the MARC.
Deputy Mayor Vino.
Just wondering where who's pushing the EV chargers. Is it something coming from planning side? Is it a grant we're looking at? I know we've had success at the LCLC by having a complete separate company take care of installing and usage and management, and it's completely hands-off from us. So if you could just speak, I realize it's in year two, but if you could speak to where this came from, that would be great.
Yeah, that's coming from the Planning and Development Department. So as you look at all of our municipal facilities and whether or not they'd be appropriate for, you know, adding EV chargers there. In the early stages, I know staff were in contact with a few companies before they ended up with what's currently there now. So if there are opportunities, we'd be more than happy to kind of let somebody else do the chargers.
Mayor McLean Weil?
My point was the same.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Trudy, if you want to continue.
I think I'll pass the Miller Point Peace Park one to our Director of Engineering.
Sure. Yeah, Miller Peace Park, that was awarded by Council to Gerhardt's to do the work there, the trail upgrades and so on, and it was anticipated that we would get some more work done in the last fall than we were able to before the weather changed. So we're just carrying over $100,000 that didn't get spent last year into the next fiscal. And the next one, Musha Musha Vault Washrooms, $150,000. That's moved from year to year one from year two. That was just moved up a year.
Councillor Smith?
Yeah, just to speak to the washrooms at Musha Musha, I think I'm really happy to see it moved up since it was in a couple budgets ago. And I think there'll be a lot of joy and appreciation to see that upgraded facilities at that very busy beach park this summer. Although I don't know when it's coming. Maybe that's a good question. When would it be coming? If it's scheduled for this budget year, when might it get built?
Chances are we don't like to be disruptive during the peak season, so it very well possibly could be after the season. Yeah.
Okay. Thanks. Thanks, Mr. Pace. So we're at to the last slide of changes. There is none on these other capital projects. However, we actually ended up with a new addition that I believe that Ms. Payne can discuss.
Yeah, so the addition that you see on the slide is to do with River Ridge Common Play Structures. It is a natural playground at River Ridge, and so we did have a consultant come in and do an assessment. And because it is a hemlock and it tends to deteriorate at quite a rapid rate, and it actually, my understanding is it rots from the inside. It's compromising some of the structures at River Ridge Commons, so we had got a Class C estimate to do some of the repairs and upgrades and removal of some of the features, such as the log maze. If councillors remember when we went and did the tour, that's where we had taken one of the pictures. So to address some of the concerns, or all the concerns that was in this particular report, we'd be looking at $100,000. Right now that is to help address some of the concerns. Whether we replace it with a natural structure or something else, we'll have to come back to council with what those remediations would be. But we're right now in the budget process and felt it very vital to bring forth the findings in that report and to budget accordingly to address those play structure concerns at a very well-used park in the New Germany area.
Councillor Brooks and then Councillor Oikel.
This line item on the top here, Art on the Trail, was something that a conversation had sort of started around the council table one day. One of my fellow councillors suggested maybe we should look at it and see if all of that should be going forward this year, if we should be delaying it, if we should be revising it. I'm looking at $65,000 for Art on the Trail and a new ask for $100,000 for common play structures. I'm thinking about everything that we've had come in front of this council this year and the food banks that are going to come back to us for more money and the fire departments who just came in here and who are going to be struggling in their own ways. I will not be voting for this budget because of that line item. So if people are comfortable and they can defend it to their constituents, please feel free to do that. I cannot defend it to mine, and I will not vote for this budget because of that line item.
Okay, Councillor Oikel had her hand up, and then Councillor Smith.
Regarding the common place, and I haven't been to River Ridge for a while, but the last time I was there, the slides were blocked. Will this be covering fixing those slides, or have they already been fixed?
They have not already been fixed, and that's one of the recommendations that's in this report, that actually the wood structure that would have held up the slide, recommending that be replaced.
Okay.
So we would need to look at, we'd have to decide what we're doing with that particular area, but because of the wood rot, it would have to be removed and what we replace it with.
Yeah, well, I'm very much in support of that, especially since some of those structures are made of wood and people go underneath them, they crawl on them. If they're dangerous, we definitely do need to have them replaced or taken down and something else put there.
And if I could just say on the Art on the Trail, of that, $15,000 is a carryover. I just wanted to, for the current project that's underway. I just wanted to point that out.
Councillor Smith.
I just wanted to respond to the Art on the Trail, the new $50,000 that would be in the budget. And what I had proposed when we first looked at this is capital or operating capital. When we first looked at capital, was that we hold off on new funding for Art on the Trail for now. Not because I don't think that we should be investing in it, but I do think that, we have in our plan, or in our strategic plan, our work plan, to look at a public art policy. And I really think that that will help us clarify what we're doing around public art in the municipality. And I also think that, this could be part of the conversation around tourism. So I see a lot of kind of conversations that need to be had. And my issue with spending $50,000 again on the Art on the Trail program is that my understanding is that this was kind of a pilot project that kept going, and it was successful, but we never revisited what we were doing with it, what our vision is for art and culture in the municipality, what are some of the risks, what kind of policy do we need, as a container. So that's on our plan, to talk about a public art policy. So I would really support holding off on new spending until next year and leave the $15,000 to carry over to finish the project that we supported this year. And I just think we'll be in a much better place to make funding decisions around this. And I say that with a lot of reluctance because of what is going on in the province right now around arts funding, but I think that we need to be spending strategically and having the policies in place for these kinds of programs.
Councillor Moore.
Thank you. As for the River Ridge Common, we kind of just all found out about this was not council-driven, councillor-driven. It was just something that came that I became aware of yesterday, thanks to the mayor and the CAO and Trudy. And it was explained to me this morning. It was a surprise. I see the money that's going to go into New Germany sewer and stuff, and I mean we're all wanting something out of the budget, but infrastructure like a sewer, I mean we have to keep that up. As for the park itself, the assessment was for safety, correct? Through you to Trudy?
Oh, just to ensure, yeah, that we were meeting and everything was safe. It was so there was a safety
if
lens.
If we don't do this, I mean, people climb on logs and everything in the woods, but this is our park, and it's our insurance. So if we don't do something and somebody gets hurt, what happens? And I think I know the answer.
We're ultimately liable, and if we know that there's risk, we either got to shut it down or we've got to do something about it. I mean, that's really your choices.
Like I said, I mean, when this is $100,000 in the budget. Like, I have no problem taking money in my district, but we all have to be fair. But when it comes to something like this, and it's a safety issue, it's out in the public now. That's all I'm going to say. Thank you.
Deputy Mayor Vino.
You know, this is the department that we like to spend money because it's the good news stories, it's the positive things, but there's only so much to go around. And I also think of the presentation we had this morning, and I was really excited to see that presentation and what it could mean for the community. That's another $20,000. Like I would love to see that go forward. So one of my questions is, will that come back at a future budget deliberation to talk about? And then on the comments about Art in the Trail, I don't want to see us remove what we've already committed to that project. However, removing what's in the upcoming budget, I would be in support of till we have a broader conversation about what that looks like and where are we going with that, because right now it's just kind of out there. So I'd like to see a show of, I'll let you call for that, but perhaps a show of hands who might be in support of that line item, and I'll leave that up to the chair to decide how you want to take that.
Councillor Oikel.
Yes, I'm totally in agreement with what's been spoken of regarding the Art on the Trail. But if we take the $50,000 out, usually my experience has been for anything we want to do, we always need a consultation with somebody, and we always have to pay them. So perhaps leaving it in there to help pay for that consultation with somebody, we might need to do that rather than just getting rid of it if we want to work on it in the next year. I don't know, because I just know we always seem to have somebody come in and consult with us, and we have to pay them.
Right. So maybe first what we'll do is just get a show of hands on... Okay, sorry.
Your agenda does have a section for deliberation, and you do have public input, so I would recommend that council avoid getting into your actual decision-making until you have received that public input. So generally we try to stick to technical questions about the presentation and then allow for the public input. I'm so sorry.
Okay. Councillor Brooks, do you have a question about
It's just
this
a clarification
item?
On the Art on the Trail, and I don't know if this is for Tom or maybe this is for Trudy, but are the people that we would be paying the money to, are they independent contractors?
In the sense that they're not employees?
In the sense that they're private individuals not running not-for-profits, but they are for-profit individuals?
They're artists, so they would be self-employed?
Self-employed.
Likely.
Does the MGA allow us to support businesses that way?
We're buying a product, so we're allowed to procure art.
So we can buy products through the MGA?
We often, everything that we buy would generally be a service or a product.
I guess I meant artistic products or artistic services.
Yeah, there's specific provision for art and artistic undertakings. Yep. We're allowed to procure it.
So sorry to cut you off, but just to be, you know, respectful of the comments that we just received from the Deputy CAO, if we could continue with the budget presentation, and then we will pick this up after because we do have to finish the conversation. But I think we should move on at this point, finish the presentation, have our public input, and then we can pick this discussion up.
Certainly, Madam Chair. So we did do a slide just on the capital project budget, funding budget, just to see where the money's coming from. As you can see, in year one of the $31.9 million in capital projects, about $13 million of it is coming from our own municipal reserves. You know, we always try to leverage grants where we can, and we have managed to get some good ones in the past, so that's been very helpful. As well, we do a projection on our five-year financial plan with our reserves budget. And as we've explained before, there's two graphs here. The one on the left is the projected reserves separating the operating and the capital reserves out. So the operating reserves are in blue and the capital reserves are in green on the left-hand slide. There is a red line, which is the financial condition index percentage of operating budget, which is a threshold for your percentage of operating reserves only, which is the green section. So when we look at financing, we're trying to keep ourselves within that benchmark. On the right-hand side is the same kind of threshold. However, it works with both reserves combined. And as you can see, combined, they do fall a little bit in the projection, but they begin to build up again. We have had some discussions about debentures and borrowing and how we try to use our own funds, leverage grants, and borrow to kind of keep us in good financial state. So that's how the reserves are looking right now. Our next steps after our public input here, we will be having two more meetings, as I discussed at the beginning, so that we can look to pass the budget on March 31st. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Wenzel. Now we will move on to our public input portion. And I see we have someone in the gallery. Are you looking to do public input today? Okay. I'll just read through the rules quickly. Public input is one of several opportunities for the public to engage with council. Residents are welcome to use the public input portion of the meeting to share their thoughts with the council on municipal topics that are important to them. We ask that all statements be respectful of other members of the public, staff, and council. We ask that you provide your full name and the community where you reside for the record. If you have a question or concern that you would like to have addressed, then we ask that you also provide your email address or phone number on the form provided on the podium so that we can contact you regarding your question or comment. The chair will respond to questions that can easily be answered. If your question or concern cannot be answered, then it will be handled as follows. We will email you with an answer to your question or a response to your concern. We may also contact you to get additional information or further clarification on the matter to assist us in responding. We will provide a summary of answers and responses at a future council meeting under business arising from the minutes, and this will form part of the public record. Statements or questions related to personnel or operations can be emailed to the Chief Administration Officer, Tom McEwen. There are 15 minutes allocated for public input today, which are shared between the speakers. So since we have one speaker, you can have up to 15 minutes. And when you come to the podium, please raise or lower as needed to reach the microphone and move the microphone close to your mouth. Please identify your name and community and leave your email address if you would like a response to the question.
Good afternoon, Council. I had a bunch of stuff wrote here, but I think I'm going to leave it for another day. Basically,
sorry to interrupt. Could you just state your name?
And Andrew team? Himmelman from Newcombville. Sorry. So basically, back in 2020, the operating budget was right around $31 million. And now this year, the operating budget is almost $50 million. So, you know, the cost of everything's going up, but I don't see a whole lot in the presentation about reductions and any cost-saving initiatives that are taking place. I see the LCELC had a reduction about $50,000, but that was just removing $50,000 from an operating line to a capital line. So I guess my question is, what cost-spending initiatives has Council asked for the CAO and staff to do in order to try and reduce the budget from increasing year after year? We've got a third-party property assessment organization that keeps jacking all of our property taxes up, and that just increases the amount of money that could be spent in the municipality. Could being the main word. So Modal's budget, from my calculations, has increased an average of about 8% year over year from 2020. The property tax revenue has increased about 60% since 2020, which means the spending in this municipality has also increased about 60%. You know, no one's wages have gone up 60%. People's pension plans haven't increased by 60%, but yet their property tax year over year keeps increasing. So the elderly community that's relying on pensions, you know, that's, I think old age pension check went up by $2, yet their property tax has gone from $1,000 to $4,000 in some cases. So it's overall in the country and all forms of government, I find it very, you know, rich to have conversations about public housing strategies, all of this stuff, and we keep paying consultants, we keep jacking up property tax and every other tax, rain tax, and at the end of the day, you know, no one's really asking for this. We're just asking to get by with, you know, what we can make day-to-day or what's supplied through a pension plan. So, you know, the city of Calgary, their residential property tax revenue is only increased by 28%, but somehow the municipality has gone up 60%. So, you know, the municipality staffing, like, that's very hard info to find, but what I did find online is that it possibly could have went up 44% or 30 full-time positions just over the last 5 or 6 years. The other item, like, I was away at the time, but I see a budget item for a wooden salmon carving in a park back in the middle of the woods for $50,000. Like, and the art on the trail item. Everyone in the whole community, it doesn't matter who I talk to in this room, everyone's struggling to get by. And yet, year after year, It is very easy to spend more and more money on, my opinion, stupid things. So meanwhile, everyone's just trying to keep a roof on their head, and yet we get a $50,000 carving for a salmon. Great. Like, that park in Indian Falls, that is a very nice park. I'm glad it's a nice park because it's a lot of money going into it. Meanwhile, you know, we've got the issue on King Street taking place. The community's half falling apart. Like, it's no better than what it was 10 years ago. And yet somehow we figured out to spend, what, an extra $3-4 million over last year? I'm just having a hard time struggling with what's taking place. And really, you know, if there hasn't been a cost-saving initiative that has been asked, you know, I really think that council, someone in council, should make a motion to go to each department and review what their budget is and try and save 10 or 20% out of it. Go through all your items, rank 1 through 10, and try and figure out how you can do more with less and try and claw back this trajectory of spending just because the property tax assessment's going up. And, you know, it's great to hear someone today mention one of the purposes of a municipality, but yet again I'm going to review 9A, which is provide good government, provide services, facilities, and other things that in the opinion of council are necessary or desirable for all or part of the municipality and develop and maintain safe and viable communities. Well, right now, the very last one, 9A Part C, is to maintain safe and viable communities. Yet it seems like the focus right now is on desirable items of, you know, another $100,000 on a wooden swing set. I remember just 2 years ago, I brought forward, why are we spending $10,000 or $15,000 on this wooden swing set, and now they're rotten. And now we got to spend another $100,000 as taxpayers to replace the rotten swing sets. It just does not make sense. And I'm very frustrated just paying attention for the last 2 years. You know, I just came back from about 3 months away in a poverty-stricken country where people are living in cinder block homes with tarp roofs, and they'd love to have 50,000 Canadian to go towards food and housing compared to a carving of a salmon. So, you know, there's a lot of things, I believe, our culture here, our history, art, that's all important. And I guess the battle in today's government situation is the province responsible for it or is the municipality responsible for it? And you guys are guys and women and men are sitting in here trying to make those decisions. So I just really like that. Take a step back and figure out, are we spending money on non-essential things? And what are essential things that we have to spend in this community? I'm not sure if that came out right, but that's my 2 cents for today. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And did you want to respond to any personnel? Okay, we will follow up at the next meeting. Okay, so we're going to get back to the agenda and council deliberation and direction to staff.
So this would be an opportunity for council members to bring up items that they'd like to give staff direction on. There were two items that I had identified, and there may have been more, that came up during the presentation of the material. The first one was on the tourism budget. So there was a suggestion that we not change the budget, but direct staff to return with more information about changing the use of the money in that budget. And then there was another item, a suggestion to reduce Art on the Trail from $65,000 to $15,000, allowing only for the carryover. So at minimum, those two items require some more discussion. And then other, Elena has identified at least a third.
Just one second. So
I just want to know if we could, because I have a conflict of interest underneath the draft operating budget, if we could just, if you could talk about the one thing, I'll sit out in the gallery, and then we can talk about the things for the capital budget so that they're not all mixed up together.
Sure, we can have a discussion on the operating budget.
Okay, thank you.
Yep. Okay.
Okay, so we're going to discuss the VIC line item on in the budget, which is related to the tourism and the mayor's thoughts on perhaps directing that money into a different area. Councillor Smith?
So just a question on this. If we did decide that we would divert some of that money, possibly, I just feel like I'm not quite understanding how we're going to use that money at this point. And it seems like the details are yet to be worked out or discussed. So what is the decision point right now? Is it we're not doing VIC funding and the money will be set aside for something else? Or could we possibly like divvy the money up in some other way when it comes back to us for a more detailed discussion?
Yep. Yeah, thank you for that question. So, in essence, if you approve the budget as it is, we will spend it as we historically spent it based upon the various items. So we would hire VIC staff and do all the things we historically have done. If this direction passes, we'll leave the money where it is. We'll identify which line items in the budget are associated with the VIC spend. And we won't spend that money until council has a chance to talk about and decide how they want to spend it. And then when that decision is made, then we'd move forward with the spend. So in essence, it's just leave it in the budget, but don't spend it as you plan. Spend it as we discuss and give direction later.
Okay. Ms. Payne?
Yeah, and I just want to clarify that some of the money is not just for the pop-ups. I think when Ms. Wayne was in, she was describing some of the digital investment that we have made. So that is helping to promote, like, the beaches and the trails and the parks. So welcome and willing to have the discussion. I agree with the mayor around having a tourism strategy and the direction that we want to take. I just place that like it's just not the pop-ups. It was a much bigger picture around what we're delivering. We do, you know, deliver brochures on behalf of tourism operators. We help fund other, you know, brochures for some of those tourism nonprofit tourism ventures. And we do our trails maps, and we invest in our own promotion that we place in other people's tourism visitor information centers across the province. So I just wanted to say that it's just not the pop-ups. That's one piece of the overall delivery. So when we're having those discussions, we would want to be looking at that whole package and making decisions. That's all.
Okay, so, but what I'm understanding is we can give direction to not pursue the pop-up VIX, is that what we're deciding? Okay. So, and then what we do use the money for, we'll talk about later. Okay, so by a show of hands, is there support? Of course, yeah.
What? Here I go again. what does this mean? So that means we will not have the VIC pop-ups. Does that mean that we will not be hiring students to, and but how many jobs does that cut? Student jobs for the summer.
We hire two summer positions, and one that helps us on a contract basis throughout the year with the digital marketing. So, but it would be two summer staff. which would be about 4 months, I think, when we employed.
I find that hard because we are here to help people, and the summer students look forward to working with us for us. But I do also understand where ELSP is coming from, that we need to have a bigger picture of where we're going with this. So that's not to say if we cancel it this year that it can't come back next year. Thank you.
Any further questions for clarification before we vote? Okay, so just by a show of hands, who would like to remove that area of spending, not the actual spending? That's majority, I think unanimous, so you have your direction on that. And we can move on to the second. Oh, yeah, before we move on to capital, were there any other items for discussion on the operating budget? Okay. We'll move on to the capital budget, and we will pick up the art discussion. So the question on the table is to reduce the budget for this year to the $15,000 that was carried over from last year. So are there any more comments on that? No, I'm not seeing any. Or Councillor Smith?
I just want to reiterate that I feel very uncomfortable voting to remove this funding for next year, but I am 100% doing it to support the conversation and the success of this moving forward. It's about building a sustainable program, and I think, some of the comments today around art and the current project that's going on really does show that we need more of a vision that we can communicate about what we're doing. And I just want to say I'm so excited about the project that's coming to Indian Falls this year, and it's more than just a carving. It's collecting oral history in the area that has not been collected and recorded. It's a very important project for the heritage of the area. And when we start thinking about tourism, you get someone in the park and they start hearing some of the histories of this place, this land where the park is. It may inspire them to go and look further at the Parkdale Maplewood Museum. These are the kinds of projects that can entice people to be curious about the area, spend more money in the area. And I really do think that when we have these conversations, I look forward to thinking about how culture, art, our local economies and tourism connect at a very deep level, and how that's very, very important for rural communities and what part we want to play in it. I know there's a lot of questions, and really looking forward to the conversation.
Okay, so we'll get a show of hands for reducing that item in the budget to $15,000, with the understanding that we are not abandoning the idea of public art, but just looking for a clearer vision on what that looks like in a bigger picture sense. So can I get a show of hands who would support lowering that item to $15,000 for this year's budget? Okay, and that's everyone. So, are there any other? Oh, Ms. Wenzel,
I didn't know if you, through Madam Chair, if there was more discussion on the River Ridge Playground new addition budget item that council might want to discuss.
Mayor McLean-Weil?
Yes. Obviously, we're all disappointed that that the natural elements of River Ridge are not that sustainable. And 6 years isn't very long, which is what I understand those the elements have been put in. It has created a very beautiful park in a very kind of natural environment, and that in a perfect world, that's what we would like to have. But I think in the conversations that I've had in the last 24 hours on this matter, I think we have to recognize that we need to be much more sustainable in how we invest, and this is probably a good lesson for future decisions, given that we continue at a very significant level invest in our parks, and we have millions of dollars committed in the coming couple of years to this. And as much as we might love to put more wood back in the woods, I don't think that that's a really good move. And I think we can probably part of our look at how we place infrastructure, we need to be really cognizant of longevity, because these are investments. We have a lot of parks that are all going to require ongoing maintenance. And, you know, this is one of our assets, so we want to make sure they're well cared for. So and in the conversation I've had about this, you know, we recognize that there may be elements we can purchase that will be much more sustainable in terms of the materials and yet maintain an aesthetic that fits well into a natural environment. So rather than having bright yellow and orange playground equipment, we may try to find things that are, you know, black and gray and fit into the natural setting and are of materials that protect the longevity of the material, but also uphold the standards we have for safety and accessibility within our parks. So I just wanted to say that, because I think this is really important learning, difficult learning, because it is a lot of money, and I know there was a lot of money spent by not only ourselves but by the community on creating that park, and I think lesson learned, and we'll move on and be very cognizant of how we have to spend as we go forward.
Councillor Oikle and then Deputy Mayor Vino.
So I just want to clarify to Trudy through you. Is that $100,000 going to replace anything? And if so, as to what the mayor said, what types of materials? Or is it just to remove?
So the assessment that was done gave us some class C estimates, and this was to replace some of the parts and to remove some of them. So we're asking for the $100,000 in the budget, but I think there's still some decision points around what kind of materials or what we're going to replace it with, and I don't have that answer today, but we'll bring that forth with a plan of how to spend that $100,000 in a more sustainable way, as the mayor has indicated, and what we can do with that. There will be some pieces that need to be removed just due to safety concerns, and we'll have, you know, maybe we don't replace something with it today. That's a longer, you know, that's a longer vision. Or So I don't have a straight answer for you. The main discussion for the day was that there was concerns raised. We need to do something at the park. We're looking for the $100,000, and we can make more concrete decisions as we move along.
Deputy Mayor Vino.
Thank you. I just brought up earlier about the disc golf presentation this morning, and wondering if that'll come back at a future budget conversation, or when we could address putting that into the budget.
So we don't have any presentations on new budget information. So if council has a wish to add something, now is the time. Otherwise, it would have to be done outside of budget. But We just got this information this morning, so we don't know anything more than was presented.
I, for one, would be in support of finding the funds to move forward with this project. I think it's a great addition to the MARC. It's going to bring new people to the MARC, and we're talking about our facilities and our investment and what that means for tourism. This is something that will automatically work for itself. It's going to bring the people here, and as was presented this morning. So whatever I need to do to suggest that that gets added, I would like to do, and I think the mayor has some comments as well, and then I have one follow-up question on another item.
Okay, just Councillor Burns, was it on this matter?
I'd be happy to defer until we...
Okay. Okay. Mayor McLean Weil.
Yeah, just in support of what Deputy Mayor has said, but I would suggest we have an envelope set aside for the park, and surely we can squeeze $20,000 out of that. I would suggest we try to do that and not look for additional funds.
Councillor Burns?
Just 2 points. First is I just wanted to speak reluctantly in support, but also enthusiastically. It's reluctantly enthusiastically about the spending the money in River Ridge. Like, it sucks that we have to do it, but we have to do it because this is a place where community goes to with their families. It's a gathering point. If the equipment isn't great, then our alternative is to take that equipment out, and that's going to lead into my second point in a second. We've seen other parks where we go in, we take the equipment out, and then nothing happens there, and it becomes nothing but a field at best. And so, you know, I can tell you, a lot of families in the same situation as mine are using it regularly, and every time I take my kids to the play place in the mall, instead of going to River Ridge, it costs me $32. So, yes, it's money to spend on equipment, but we're creating a space where people can go, and there isn't an entry fee to come to our parks. The second one is, you know, we're throwing a lot of money around here on parks. I think there's places where we're going to have to, you know, we can find $20,000 in the budget for disc golf. I remember 2 years ago asking for, a small sum in the range of $5,000 to $10,000 to start some work on Pine Grove Park, and everyone thought that was going to break the bank. So, like, there's a lot of dollars that go around here for other parks now. So I think when it comes to disc golf, you know, great proposal, but there's some envelopes in which I think that money could otherwise come out of, and if it can't, then we end up having the discretion as a decision-making body later on to just say yes and do it anyways.
Deputy Mayor Vino.
The other thing I wanted to talk briefly about in the plan, while it's not a change that was proposed today, it's something I've been thinking about, and that's the Osprey Village Sidewalk Enhancement Plan. At our Policy and Strategy Committee, we received a presentation from Upland. I think it was Upland, and it was deemed the final presentation. And we have in our budget right now a line item of, what was right in front of me, $5,125,000, with the municipal funding portion being just over $1 million. How does the plan that we've received tie into the funds that we have budgeted? And I ask that because When we do projects, and the mayor and I have talked about this, we give developers and designers an open window rather than saying, this is the amount that we're willing to spend, work within this budget. And as a result of not doing that, we get plans back that are far beyond our means of what we're able to spend. And $1 million on sidewalks and benches seems like a lot. But I'm wondering how that presentation ties in with the line item that we have and what we can expect to see in the next year.
So thank you for that. So the sidewalk project and the lights started before the beautification project. And it is significantly funded because of accessibility provisions within it. So the connection is where they put the sidewalk is where we're building it. But we've been working with the Department of Public Works for 8 months or more trying to get the design approved for the streetlights and the sidewalks. So the sidewalk plan existed independently, and the costs are as determined by consultants. There's an accessibility component and there's a grant component. The accessibility component goes to things like the benches and the lighting to meet the accessibility standards for light on the sidewalks as they go down Nathan Cirillo and up Pine Grove. So what was in the Upland report, which showed other things like a bicycle lane next to the sidewalk, those are not included in our plan because we've already gone, like we're past 95% design. So the infrastructure projects are moving ahead. Council hasn't made any decision or given any direction on the enhancement plan on any elements that we move forward. So anything that comes out of that would happen later.
And I'm not against having something there. I like to go on record with that. We're building new buildings, bringing thousands of new residents. We have to move them somehow. I just found that plan really presented a downtown city kind of vibe as opposed to a rural landscape up here.
Councillor Burns and then Councillor Oikel.
Without disadvantaging all the comments we should be making as a council about planning for future residents in the area, I do hope that councillors can, in their minds, separate some of the options that were presented in that Upland report from some of the immediate safety concerns that we need. And what we're really looking at here, aside from the sidewalk, is I don't think any of us are going to walk down that road, especially in inclement weather, and feel safe. But more importantly, it's that intersection there at the Walmart and that Pine Grove Road. And I think you will see a disproportionate number of fire calls for accidents and RCMP calls for accidents there. And it's about once a month. It's a large community issue that folks bring to me about accidents there. It is not, I don't think, designed for today's reality of traffic coming in and out of there. And so whatever we need to do to make that a safer intersection, both there and through here, I think we should be advocating for. And I would strongly encourage councillors to separate, because I think large portions of it are separated, a larger enhancement plan from the area from what is an immediate infrastructure deficit that's making for an unsafe intersection.
Councillor Oikel.
So I would like to talk a little bit about the disc golf. I'm just a little bit concerned. I think it was a wonderful presentation. It's a great idea, and I'm sure the whole thing will be worked. But one of the reasons we don't make decisions on the day of or during the time of the presentation, is because of the excitement and the goodness and, oh, that speech is so wonderful, right? And because normally staff, if it's something we are interested in, staff will go away, talk to that person who obviously has that information, and they'll look more into it, and then they come back with a presentation to council. And I just feel like we're kind of starting to make a different precedent by right now saying, oh, well, we want to do this, rather than waiting for staff to come back and tell us a little bit more level-headed about the whole thing. I just wanted to say that.
If I could just add, I think the difference here is that we're in a budget discussion, and this is really council's last opportunity to add things. So if it isn't done today, staff don't intend on doing it before the next presentation, and we wouldn't want it to go much longer to make changes, because I think there's only two presentations left, and one of them is passing it, or then we pass it.
Yes, further through the chair to the CAO. Yes, that we are hoping that the next presentation will be the final budget, where we can work on messaging and how that budget aligns with your strategic priorities, and so it will be a recommendation to council to pass the next week. So we wouldn't expect to take changes that late. That being said, you know, if council can direct us to do whatever
council wishes to do. It's your budget. So if you want staff to bring back a report on disc golf and have a discussion about that before the 23rd, I'm sure staff can make that happen. Or if you want to leave it in the envelope that's already allotted for the MERC, that's another decision point. But it's certainly up to council for us.
Just concerned. That's all.
It's certainly a fair point, Councillor Oracle. It's to allow that time for a little more research to happen and a little bit of analysis. If the direction leaving today, though, is to keep the capital budget the same and explore if disc golf can be added to that, it doesn't prevent you from having further conversations about disc golf later if it turns out that the many other elements of that MARC project don't allow for the disc golf to happen in there. It's not do it today or it never happens. And there's no budget implication for Elena's presentation, which is our major concern today, that we get all of the financial direction so that we can start preparing that package for you to pass at the end of the month.
Mayor McLean Weil.
Yeah, just to Councillor Oikle's point, I think I personally might think of it differently if we weren't already embarking on a major investment in that park. And I viewed the $20,000, with all respect, as a $4 million expense or investment. $20,000 seemed like a small addition to figure out how we could make that work in that envelope of money. If it was outside of that, I might think of it differently. But we have an envelope, and it seemed like a reasonable amount that could perhaps be accommodated. That's why I thought, let's just put that in the budget as another item that we're thinking about with them, that we'd like to see done in the MARC. The details of how and what the involvement might be and the final costs around it, again, has to stay within that envelope. If we got a recommendation back and it said we're going to need a lot more money, then that would be another conversation. But if we can do it within the envelope, which I think surely to heavens at $4 million, we can squeeze this out.
So I think I think I'm seeing a lot of nods to just trying to keep it in that envelope. So is that clear enough for moving forward? Okay. Okay, are there any more questions or discussion for the capital budget? Okay, seeing none, I'll ask for a motion to adjourn. Moved by Councillor Burns, seconded by Councillor Brooks. All those in favor? Passed unanimously.